Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Check out our latest online video picks. Every week, we pick five different kinds of videos from the web, and I anchor them on our site in a picks video. This week's picks include Facebook etiquette in the style of the 1950s. See all our video picks at wnyc.org/video. And now we conclude the semifinals of the Brian Lehrer Show Satire Slam. We invited you last week, in case you didn't hear it, to submit satirical scripts of 200 words or less. We got more than 250 entries, and we selected eight as semi-finalists. Four of them were on yesterday performing their works. So you'll hear now from the final four surviving satire slammers. And we are setting up a webpage that will be active in just a few minutes where you can vote for your favorites. The top four, with the help of your votes, will get to join us for our first show at the Jerome L. Green Performance Space next Tuesday morning to compete in what will be the finals. At that time, our judges, in addition to me, and our audience, who will have the final say, will be the comedian Mo Rocca and the comedian Faith Saley. Faith, who you might remember from the PRI program, I keep wanting to say Only a Game. That, of course, is another public radio program.
Fair Game.
Fair Game, which aired on WNYC, and she is back with us right now. Hi, Faith.
Hi.
So you ready to sit in judgment one more time?
I am. Judgment without an E. I hate when people spell it with an internal E.
Yeah, but now with Word, you know, every time you try to spell it with an E, it gives you that
Thank
squiggly
God.
Underline. All right. Let's see. Let's just jump right in here with these contestants. And listeners, don't forget to vote. You can't vote yet because you haven't heard them all yet. But when this is over, in a few minutes, we have the links to the audio from yesterday's four entrants. And you'll hear today's right now. And then you can tell us with a ranking tool that we have. Faith, this is not just vote yes or no. This is people actually get to go in and rank all eight of the semifinalists in their order. How about that?
That's excellent.
So Jim Sparks from Manhattan is our first semifinalist for today. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Brian.
Do you want to set up your piece or just dive in?
Well, I would be happy to read it. It's sort of set up like a newspaper piece with a headline. Headline goes, Republicans call Keynesian economics just a theory. Proposed job creationism. Top Republican leaders today called Keynesian economic principles in the Obama stimulus plan just a theory. In a news conference from Capitol Hill, Republican minority leader John Boehner said, the idea that federal construction projects will create jobs in this country is utter malarkey. It is a well-known fact that spending by the government in the 1930s actually prolonged the Depression, and that the thousands of jobs created by agencies like the WPA weren't real. Keynes has never been proven right, and he was, after all, a poofter, the Ohio congressman said. Instead, Republicans will propose a job creationism tax cut that will stimulate investment and hiring by the businesses who are the party's base. It will include provisions for a full tax credit for lobbying expenses and a $1,000 child tax credit to companies that hire heterosexual parents. It will also eliminate the death tax because it is believed that under creationist economics, good Republicans actually can take it with them. An IRS spokeswoman declined to confirm such deductions are possible.
Okay, Jim Sparks from Manhattan, thank you very much.
All right, great. So
while that was going on, I Googled poofter.
Faith, that sounds so dirty.
Faith laughed because you must have known what it means.
Yes.
And gay guy, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But
also kind of. But Jim,
go ahead,
kind
Jim,
of
what a, Keynes would say? What?
Keynes was gay, I believe.
Oh, Keynes was gay.
That's one of the issues Republicans like to make an issue of.
Oh, he had a secret sex diary that he wrote down everyone he hooked up with. And I love pufter because it's kind of an archaic kind of 30s, 40s word for it. Extra points for pufter.
Oh, great.
Spelled, by the way, for anybody who's curious, like pufter, P-O-O-F-T-E-R. But I didn't think it was that great a piece. I think you had a really good concept, which is job creationism. That's pretty funny. Keynesianism is just a theory. Job creationism is real. So you're obviously drawing the Darwin connection. Then it was kind of a straight telling of what job creation might be. So to me, I would have been, I would have liked it to go further in terms of taking the concept further than you did. But the original concept was very funny and definitely was satire because it made fun of the whole creationism debate. Faith?
Yeah, I love the idea of creationism, job creationism, and just being a theory. I felt like if pieces of satire were meals, I felt like this was packed with calories. I felt like Jim got in, he hit on creationism, anti-gay marriage, or I guess that's pro-opposite marriage, homophobia,
yes,
lobbying, death tax. I felt like there was not a wasted sentence.
Oh, great, thank
all
you.
All right, Jim. Well, there you go.
It was great to participate. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for doing it. And for those of you who want to vote for Jim, you'll be able to do so in a few minutes. All right, let's go on now. Now, the next entry was actually submitted by a father and son team, Dave and John Zorno or Zornow?
Zornow.
Zornow. And who do we have here?
This is John Zornow. I'm the son.
You're the son. Okay, so you're from NIAC. And
right.
And I gather because you're just on a cell phone today or you're on a computer hookup somewhere outside of the area, you have actually recorded the piece. So set it up for us and then we'll play it.
That's right. Well, the concept is Social Security is in a mess and we need somebody who can fix it. And I think I know just the guy.
We're all ears.
Yep.
Federal prosecutors, working in conjunction with the Treasury Department, have arranged a plea bargain with Bernard Madoff, the convicted felon whose fancy financial footwork cost investors billions of dollars. Madoff will see an early release from prison and will complete his sentence doing community service as director of the Social Security Administration. The Undersecretary for the Bureau of Retirement on Key Entitlements, better known by its acronym BROKE, says that the former head of NASDAQ brings unique qualifications to the job. We're in bad shape, he says. By 2017, Social Security will be paying out more than we take in. We need someone with a magic touch to grow the system, while still allowing us to burn the candle at both ends. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg says that putting Madoff in charge of Social Security is either a publicity stunt or a good example of government learning from the private sector. Bloomberg told WNYC's radio audience last January that Madoff's isn't the biggest Ponzi scheme ever, that's Social Security. When asked to comment on today's announcement, Bloomberg rolled his eyes and said that he's running out of political parties to quit.
So, John, what I have to know first is that your idea of what public radio news delivery sounds like?
No, you couldn't tell. I practiced my radio voice.
It was fantastic, didn't you think, Brian? That was so right out of All Things Considered.
Don't tell All Things Considered that. I don't know. I think both of our first entrants today need performance coaching. Their writing is good.
A little bit.
Definitely need a little performance coaching. Now, John, if you get to the finals, are you and your dad going to come and do something together? Or if you had him there, would he have been reading some of the Bloomberg quotes and stuff like that?
I think so. And he would definitely have to join me on stage if we made it further.
Okay. Well, I thought that was very funny. And, again, definitely an act of satire and very creative, very clever to tie Bernie Madoff the Bernie Madoff idea to the Social Security idea, because, of course, what is Social Security? The money gets paid in, and hopefully there's enough to keep paying it back out. And so on one level, it's a big Ponzi scheme. And Faith, I thought that was quite a clever thing, and it had some good lines along the way.
Yeah, I liked it's John, right? It's not Dave. That's your dad. I like, John, that you guys threw in a quotation Bloomberg gave WNYC last January. That was nice to sneak that in there. I felt
we call that pandering, don't we? pandering to the judges?
I'm a sucker. I felt like you didn't quite stick the landing. I felt like the internal logic kind of fell apart because it seemed like your Bloomberg quote had him implicitly supporting this by saying it was a good example of government learning from the private sector. And then at the end, you have him rolling his eyes and referencing quitting a party. But the party involved would be the Democratic Party, right? Because it's that administration. And he hasn't been a Democrat for a long time. Am I missing something?
I suppose so.
Yeah, although, you know, I mean, I think the whole premise of the piece is that the government was for this, right? It was the government that was going to let Bernard Madoff out of jail because only he had the requisite experience to run Social Security, right? So the government is for it. And, I guess Bloomberg's position is Bloomberg's position as opposed to the federal government's position is a little more ambiguous in your quote. Although it's a funny line at the end. You talk about sticking the ending. It's not exactly relevant, and it doesn't pay off the theme, but he says Bloomberg rolled his eyes and said he's running out of political parties to quit, unlike Arlen Specter. So, all right. Nice job, John. Thank your dad for us. Okay.
Thanks, Brian.
And we'll let you know if you're a finalist. By the way, the finalists will have a choice, Faith. Here's how it will work for the finalists. The four people who are picked.
Swimsuit, talent, poise.
Definitely looks are going to matter because they're going to have to come to the green space mm-hmm. and do this live. And people will either be able to do a new piece or they can take the suggestions that you've been giving them over the last 2 days and improve the piece that they came on with this week.
Oh, now I feel very responsible.
How about that?
And
so you are
invested.
Very responsible and invested. In fact, you'll be to blame by anybody who loses this competition. John and Dave will just have to get together and do the father-son writing thing one more time if, in fact, they are picked. And people will give people a little more leeway. People were complaining that 200 words was so short because we wanted them on the air just to be a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give them up to 500 words if they actually make the finals, right? So it's like a 3-minute piece. All right, let's go on next to Don Arup. Don, am I saying your name right?
No, you're not. It's actually Don Arup.
Okay, A-R-R-U-P, Don Arup from Manhattan.
Yep.
And do you want to set up your piece?
I just wanted to say I'm an off-off Broadway playwright, and I write a blog called Satire One.
You're a ringer. You still count as an amateur, though, so it's okay, unless you make money from it.
No, never have.
And you're writing about why we don't have universal health care, right?
That's true.
We're all ears.
Why we don't have universal health care. I asked the guy standing next to me at the bus stop why we don't have universal health care. He said it was because I smoke, and he didn't want his tax dollars covering my oxygen tank. I told him he was fat, and I didn't want to pay for his triple bypass. The diabetic woman with 3 kids was asking passersby if they had any candy while promising her kids ice cream when they got home. The church lady refused to pay for people with more than one sex partner while the drunk announced that he needed a drink and a new liver. The girl who had come out of the tanning salon said that if the bus didn't come soon, she'd get skin cancer, which caused the junkie to laugh so hard he stumbled into the street where he was hit by a skateboarder not wearing a helmet, knocking the junkie in front of an SUV driven by a guy engrossed in his cell phone. Then the SUV swerved and crushed the smart car. The fat guy turned to me and said, "You see, this is why I don't exercise."
All right. I think you need a little performance coaching as well, because it didn't come out so funny for me as when I read it, when it was really, you know, quite incisive, I thought. It really... It was a muse on relative risk and the things that make us upset and the things that don't make us upset. And I guess if you had written it just a few days later, it would have probably included irrational fears over swine flu.
Mm-hmm.
Faith?
I think that's right, Brian. I think that if you do get chosen, Don, and do this again, I would think a more sort of breathless delivery that would underscore the kind of domino effect of our irresponsibility when it comes to healthcare. I did like this sort of circular construction. It was a bit of an Escher painting there at the end. But Don, in your words, what would you say, whom or what are you satirizing in this piece?
The fact that I believe we don't have universal healthcare because no one wants to pay for anyone else's sin.
So everything becomes politically unacceptable if you think the woman with three kids are undeserving or the fat guy is undeserving, all because of their own choices. Right. And it was a good ending.
Yeah.
Good landing. The fat guy turned to me and said, "You see, this is why I don't exercise. You could get hit by a car." So, okay. Very good, Don. And we're going to go on to our last one, and it is Quinn Raymond from East Village, who's going to do satire in the form of a popular public radio segment. Right, Quinn?
Brian, this is not a satire. This is my genuine attempt at entering the This I Believe Brian Lehrer radio contest, which is what this is, right?
You can call it anything you want. You can characterize it in any way.
I'm really nervous.
You're doing great so far. You're already doing better than everybody else in terms of presentation.
Yep.
So we're going to sit back and listen to Quinn Raymond's entry to the public radio program, This I Believe.
This I Believe. Call me crazy, but I believe that these teabagging parties are just a guerrilla marketing campaign sponsored by Lipton. I believe that given current events, Pittsburgh should probably rename its baseball team. I believe that if given the choice, I would rather have mass transit than new stadiums. I believe that when you die and you are at the pearly gates, St. Peter pulls up a list of all the comments you ever posted on various blogs. I'm looking at you, baby Hitler 17. I believe that if a lowly billionaire can work his way up to become the mayor of the greatest city in the world, then truly anything is possible. I believe that if we're ever going to get to the bottom of this torture scandal, we're going to need to take Cheney into a room and torture him. Daily Show, Colbert, Brian Lehrer. I believe that Bobby Jindal is the future of the Republican Party. Literally, I believe he is from the future and part of a complex plot to convince the government to stop monitoring volcanoes. Finally, Brian, I believe that satire slams should have a wrestling component. This I believe. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, the wrestling component would be a little hard to do with the phoners, but once we get to the green space...
No holds barred, baby.
Anything is possible.
This I believe, Quinn. That was the most inspired performance we've had yet.
Definitely today. And, you know, I like the little quips that kind of were tucked in there around the, you know, the bigger laugh lines that you were going for, like, "I'm looking at you, baby Hitler 17,
yep,
right, to refer to some wacky blogger. And I believe that if a lowly billionaire, if you hadn't stuck the word lowly in there, it wouldn't have been nearly as funny. But I want to know, what was the thing about Bobby Jindal actually being from the future? Where did that idea come from?
My tinfoil hat does not filter everything that comes in from outer space, so sometimes, you know, these ideas get in there. You know, I didn't know exactly how to handle Bobby Jindal, but you know, sometimes I have these dreams, and, you know, he morphs into Kenneth the Page, and it gets very disturbing.
And who does know how to handle Bobby Jindal after all? Certainly not the Republican.
I went to school with that guy.
Republican Party. You went to school with
him? I did.
Really?
I did.
Where
yeah.
was that?
At grad school at Oxford. Yeah.
Was he the class president?
He was squeaky clean team. He knew what he wanted to do, and he did it. That line, Quinn, made me laugh out loud. It's so bizarre. Just when I got to literally, I believe he is from the future, it did make me laugh out loud. So,
thank you.
Right.
And I wrote this in about 10 minutes. I heard about the deadline, you know, right as it was happening. And since then, I've been punching it up quite a bit. So if I did theoretically have the opportunity to enter the arena in my wrestler outfit, I would be able to punch this up, maybe work in some swine flu.
And wear a wrestling outfit, please.
Yeah.
Wrestling outfit is a very open, there's an open definition there. That could be a lot of different things.
I see you were entry 234, so you were right near the end. And most of the people who entered around Quinn, you know, it was really just like stream of consciousness, barely coherent, because they knew the deadline was coming. So good job. Okay, Quinn, thank you very much.
Brian, I want to ask a quick question. How many women entered? Do you have any stats on that? I'm very disappointed that we only heard from one woman.
Megan, Jody, do we have any stats on about...
Sorry to put you on the spot, okay, but yes. We, out of our eight, we only had one woman. That makes me sad.
In the finals, and I think that was about... the control room's quick take is that that was about the ratio.
Representative.
That it was mostly,
it's a shame.
Mostly a guy thing. So, okay, listeners, you've heard the four semifinalists today. If you didn't listen to yesterday's show, you can go to our webpage. We have the audio up of the four semifinalists from yesterday. And we have our cool ranking tool where you can rank in order who you liked best to least. And then we will pick the top four, your votes in conjunction with our professional judgment. And we will pick the top four to come to the green space for our inaugural show there next Tuesday. Faith Saley will join us. Morocco will join us. And you four lucky folks, or teams of folks, if any father-son combinations happen to win. We'll see you next Tuesday. And we'll follow the voting. Deadline for the voting, 48 hours, Friday at
so
noon.
So exciting.
Faith, see you next
Thank
week.
Thank you, Brian. Can't wait. I have to decide what to wear.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As Faith ponders which wrestling outfit to put on next week. We will talk about why you may or may not stop getting those robocalls that falsely warn you that your car warranty is running out. Stay with us.